Good morning. My name is Ben Sadler. I'm a pastor from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, and it's my pleasure to be here as your guest preacher. The focus for the message is going to be dealing with our doubts, wondering if God can use us and how he uses us with his grace. And we'll begin this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns to give thanks for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
There is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Let us worship him.
Thank you. Please stand. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trust in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
I have good news. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. We pray, O God, you reveal your mighty power chiefly in showing mercy and kindness. Grant us the full measure of your grace, that we may obtain your promises and become partakers in your heavenly glory.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
This week's readings are all around the feeding of the 5,000 and God's provision, and also it connects with our message today about God using us. He takes creatures who are totally dependent on him, and he uses them for his purposes. We see that here in the story of Elijah from 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tisheb in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. "Leave here. Turn eastward and hide in Kirith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kirith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1. Here the Apostle Paul is writing his letter to the Ephesians, telling them that they have been chosen, that God chose them for a purpose, that he can use them. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please stand out of respect for the words of Christ. Our gospel comes from Matthew chapter 14, the feeding of the 5,000, where God richly supplies for his people, and he uses someone, this boy, and his lunch. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and is already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please. We'll focus on the words from Exodus chapter 4. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the blessing of gathering around your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word, that we would leave here stronger Christians than the ones that came, and don't let anything I'm doing get in the way of the work of your Spirit. In your name we pray, amen. Do you ever feel like you don't belong, like you just don't fit in? Remember growing up as a young boy, I was quite overweight and didn't really feel like I fit in anywhere. It was hard to get on the sports teams and find where I could fit on the team. And then I also felt like I didn't necessarily fit in at school. Dyslexia runs in our family, and although I was never diagnosed, even today, sometimes when I look at the words on a page, the letters and the words kind of jump all over the place, and so it really was challenging to find a place to fit in. Even as I grow up, you kind of wonder, where are my talents? What am I supposed to be doing? Where do I fit in? Can God really use me? Do you ever feel like that? And maybe you wonder, maybe I don't fit in. Maybe you don't fit in because maybe there was a moral failing and you feel like you've screwed everything up and now God can no longer use you. Or maybe you feel like, I just don't have the talents or the abilities that other people have and I just don't know where I fit in. During the pandemic, our family, like many families, were looking for things to do, and so we started putting together puzzles. And you know what happens when you start putting together different puzzles? Inevitably, there'll be that one piece that kind of rolls off the table and falls underneath the couch. And then, months later, you're cleaning up the living room and you find that one puzzle piece and you don't really know where it belongs. It doesn't really seem to fit into the puzzle you're working on now. And maybe that's how you feel, kind of like that puzzle piece that wandered off and you don't feel like there's a place for you, like you just don't fit in anywhere. Well, today I'd like to focus on this message, an overall theme of dealing with doubts, and there's lots of doubts that we can have. Sometimes we have doubts about God, whether God is there, whether he exists, or whether he loves me, whether he's true, whether the Bible's true. We can have these doubts about God, but we also can struggle with doubts about ourselves. I mean, we believe in God, we just wonder if maybe we're the exception. Maybe he didn't really need us or want us. And maybe we don't have a place to fit in. And so here's the question I'd like to answer in today's message. Can God really use me? And answer that question, we'll go back to our reading from Exodus. Now, I don't know how much you know about the Exodus story, but this is the second book of the Bible, and this book of the Bible starts where the first book of the Bible ended. Genesis ends where the nation of Israel or the people of Israel have gone into Egypt. Joseph was there supplying food for them, taking care of them. But over time, this one family continued to multiply and grow. And Pharaoh started feeling threatened. And so to try to control them, he started putting the Hebrew people under forced labor. But the more he forced them and the more he tried to control them, the more they multiplied and grew. And so Pharaoh felt even more threatened by the Hebrew people, and he started to kill all the baby boys in the Hebrew family. There was a certain mother who looked at her child. Not all mothers think this, but this one was, she looked at her child and she thought this child was special. There was just something about him. She just knew he was special. And so she tried to protect him as long as she could, but as he grew, she couldn't protect him anymore. And so she knew that Pharaoh was throwing all the babies into the Nile River, And so instead of throwing him into the Nile River, she made a basket for him. Literally in the Hebrew it says she made an ark for him. And so like Noah in the ark, protected from the water, she tried to make an ark to protect her son Moses from the water and placed him in the Nile River, and he went in the Nile floating down. And it just so happened that at that time, Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the Nile, and she heard this baby crying, and she had compassion for this child. And long story short, she looks for a Hebrew woman to nurse this child and pays her, and Moses' mother, this child's mother, gets paid for nursing her own child. Well, this child named Moses grows up in Pharaoh's household, the first 40 years of his life. And in other sections of Scripture in the New Testament, we hear that he knew that there was something different about him. He believed that God was calling him to some level of leadership. And so one day when he was out observing his own people, the Hebrew people, he noticed that one of his own people, another Hebrew, was being beaten by a slave driver, by an Egyptian. And it says in the New Testament that he thought this was his moment to rise up and to lead his people and to take care of his people. And so he murdered that Egyptian. And he's waiting for everyone to kind of join behind him, but no one did. And so he hid this body in the sand. Well, come to find out that this murder that he committed was not something that happened in secret. The news got out, and Pharaoh put a warrant out for his arrest, and so he had to flee. At 40 years old, he fled into the wilderness, into Midian. And for the next 40 years of his life, he was a shepherd. About 80 years old now, and I don't know, what do you think he's thinking? What do you think is going through his mind at 80 years old? Maybe my life is over. I'm 80 years old. I'm a murderer. I wasn't the leader that I thought I was supposed to be. I've just been wandering in this wilderness this whole time. I wonder, you know, my life's probably over. God has done with me. God maybe had a plan for my life. God maybe was involved in my life, but I screwed everything up. And now I'm just going to spend the rest of my days out here in the wilderness. Well, it's at that very moment that God shows up in his life. In the famous burning bush scene, he's watching his sheep, and he sees on Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, called the Mountain of the Lord, he sees this bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. And he goes to check out what's going on, and God speaks to him through this bush. This is what the Lord says. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This is really good news for all of us. Anyone who's ever suffered, anyone who maybe has been a victim of abuse or neglect or been through a really tough situation, you wonder, where is God? Well, God says he heard the outcry of his people. God cared about these people. He listened to these people, and now God had a plan to rescue these people. He says, I am coming down to rescue the nation out of Egyptian slavery. I'm going to do this. And Moses, the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to use you. Now at this moment, you can kind of imagine Moses looking around if God's speaking to somebody else. You know, who, me? Why would you use me? In fact, if we had time to go through Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4, we would see that Moses makes 5 excuses why God should use someone else. He says things like, who am I? Who am I to do this?
And God, who are you? And what if people don't listen to me? And what if it doesn't work out? And what if, you know, what if I don't do this right? And then we get to our text where he says this: "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Now, why would Moses say this? I've never been eloquent. Well, you think back, he must have been thinking, you know, there was a time where I thought I was a leader. There was a time where I thought God could use me. And I tried to lead the people out of slavery. I even confronted one of the Egyptian slave drivers, and it didn't work out so well. And so I haven't been eloquent. I haven't been the leader that you needed me to be. It hasn't worked out for me in the past. And now, Lord, I don't know if you recognize this, but for the last 40 years, I haven't been talking to anybody. I haven't been leading anyone except for these sheep. And maybe that's how you feel. You look at your life and you think, maybe I'm all washed up. I've screwed up too much in my life. I don't have the talents that other people have. God's done with me. Maybe there was a time that God had a plan for my life, but those years are past. That time is past. I've ruined it all anyways. God's probably done with me. Well, if that's how you feel, listen to how the Lord God responds to Moses. "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." Now, this is interesting. He says, you know, "Moses, I know all about your capacity. Who gave people their mouth? It's all grace. I gave you your talents and abilities. I know what you're good at. I know what you can do." He mentions, you know, "I give people their ability to speak," but he also mentions that he's aware of people's weaknesses and deficiencies. I'm aware of those who are mute and can't speak. I know not only the things that you can do, but I know the things that you can't do. And I think we could also add, and I know the things that you've done wrong. God knows your gifts, your weaknesses, and your sins. He knows all of it. And he says, and that's why you are exactly the person that I want to use. You see, Moses was exactly what God was looking for. God had been using him. God had been molding him. God has been using all of his experience. I mean, who else was God going to choose to lead the nation of Israel out of Egyptian slavery? Moses spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt. He knew what it was like to be in Egypt. He knew what Pharaoh and that culture was like. He knew what he had to say to those people. He knew the Egyptian culture, and he knew the suffering of the people. And then after he had rescued them out of Egyptian slavery, where would he spend the last 40 years of his life? In the wilderness, the very same wilderness that he had been living in for the last 40 years. And who else was God going to use than somebody who had sinned? A murderer like Moses, who had done something horrible. Somebody who could have compassion on the people who were going to do some horrible things as well. The people that Moses were leading were a flawed people. Right after they left the Egyptian slavery, they'd be worshiping a golden calf. They'd be grumbling against God and against Moses. They'd be sinning over and over again. And it was Moses who stood between God and the people, pleading for God's forgiveness, being an intermediary, that he knew how to give compassion onto sinners because he himself was a broken sinner. See, this is how God always works. And we see this. much more clearly, not in the story of Moses, but even much more clearly in the story of Jesus. When you look at the story of Jesus, if you were one of his followers at the moment of following Jesus, you look at that and you would think, how could God use this? Everything is going the wrong way. The people are against Jesus, and they're ridiculing Jesus, and now they're putting Jesus on trial, and now they seem to have their way with Jesus, and now look at Jesus' suffering. How could God use this? But it's exactly then at the place of greatest loss, of greatest suffering, that God was doing his greatest work, reconciling the world to himself through the finished work of Jesus, and he proved it by raising him from the dead. So God can use it all, especially our suffering. That's how he does his greatest work. And so to answer that opening question, can God use me? The answer is God will use our skills, our suffering, and even our sin in service to others. Now, God doesn't want us to sin, but God will use it all. He will use our skills, but usually people aren't that impressed with our skills. We think that's the place where we'll connect deepest with people. We'll connect deepest with our skills. We'll impress somebody how skillful we are, but usually people aren't that impressed by our skills. But when people have seen that you suffered, people see that you're broken, that's usually the point of connection. That's usually where God can use you. In fact, it makes me think of a quote from a business leader, Rory Vaden, who said this: you are most powerfully positioned to help the person that you once were. You are most powerfully positioned to help the person that you once were. And so in Moses' case, who was he helping? He was going to be helping the people who are caught in Egypt, and he himself was in Egypt. He was helping people who are sinners, and he himself was a sinner. You are most powerfully positioned to help the person that you once were. Did you struggle in school? You're probably going to make a great teacher. Do you struggle with doubts? You're probably going to help people who struggle with doubts. Did you struggle with connection? You're going to help people connect with one another. Those areas that the struggles that you have been through, those are the very people that God is going to use you to serve. And so here's the big takeaway. Help the person you once were. Help the person you once were. God can use you, and it's in usually those areas of your suffering and your sin to help that person that you once were. That person who's going through suffering and loss like you do, those are exactly the people that you are uniquely qualified to serve. Back to that puzzle piece illustration. See, we're not that puzzle piece that went rolling off underneath the couch that has no place to fit. We are uniquely shaped to fit into God's greater kingdom. When you think about that puzzle piece, you know, maybe you look at yourself as a puzzle piece, those piece, that part of the puzzle piece that kind of sticks out, those are your skills. Areas where you can pour into the life of other people, where you can help other people, but also those indents in that puzzle piece, those places where you suffered, the places where you sinned, that draws people in to connection. And when you step back and you look at the whole puzzle, you realize that God is putting this all together. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our skills, our suffering, our sin. It's about God. It's about the kingdom of God who's using all the things that we've gone through to put together this incredible story, what sometimes is called the kingdom of God, the holy Christian church, all of his work to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. And so you don't need to doubt whether God can use you. Like with Moses, he will use your skills and your suffering, even your sin. He's connecting all of us to make this incredible, unique story, to put this puzzle together. And we see it, we'll give him all the glory. So God is sending you. God is sending you to be a part of his kingdom. So go and help the person that you once were. Amen. We'll continue now confessing our Christian faith, a faith that unites us in the incredible family of God with the Nicene Creed. Let's speak these words together.
We believe in the one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended to heaven and sits at your right hand.
We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children. Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Lord God, we pray for the family of Homer Carlson, who passed away recently. We also pray for retired pastor Ron Waterstrat, who's recently suffered a stroke, that you'd be with him and guide him with your presence. Now, Lord, hear us as we bring you our private petitions.
As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus. To him be praise and honor and glory and power now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
We continue with the sacrament portion of our service. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Then after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised me here may glorify you
in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Well, again, good morning to all of you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your worship this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements. There is a box for LWMS offerings on your way out. If you haven't already given your offering to that ministry yet, you can do that on your way out on the table in the back. And then there will be Bible study this morning back here in the sanctuary in a few moments. May the Lord bless your day.